It's the Barry Pod on 99.3 thevine.com.
This is the Barry Pod, recorded on October 18th, 2023. And in the pod this time, State Senator Bill Dodd. Thanks for being here.
It's great to be here, Barry.
So you just finished another legislative session. You are not running. You're termed out. You can't run for another term. How do you feel? Clock's kind of ticking. You're coming to the end of something here.
Yeah, the clock is ticking. I've got one more year starting in June. The session starts in, you know, the first Tuesday or Wednesday of January. And I'll work the end of that. Next session will be September 1st. Then I'll have an off-season. The election will be on November 5th or 6th. And officially, I'm out of office when they do organize the new Senate on probably the first week in December. Mm-hmm. But we intend, I've got a full staffing. By this time, a lot of staff have left and tried to find new pastures, green pastures. I've been just so very, very fortunate over 9 years of keeping a great staff. And I think that's really accrued to my reputation as a legislator, somebody can get things done, 113 bills in 9 years. And, but I don't pat myself on the back on that. I think my staff is amazing. And so they're staying, and we're going to help them find other positions. And perhaps the candidate that I'm supporting to, take my place, will win, and they'll stay with her, and that'll be a win-win.
Mm-hmm. And who is that candidate you're supporting?
Her name is Dr. Rosanna Werder-Aliga. She's not a medical doctor. She's a mental health doctor. She's got her doctorate in mental health. And she is from the city of Leo, which is the largest city in the largest district by a lot. Real quick, it's, you know, Solano County has 47% of all the vote in my district. Mm. And Davis is next at about 17. And Napa's next at 14. And Sonoma's 7 or something like that. And then around. So, and Vallejo is the largest city in the district. So she's the vice mayor. She's really helped get things in order in Vallejo in terms of a rainy day fund, reserve fund after their bankruptcy. And it's over $20 million. She's been very active in trying to get a police contract. We know that's been a disaster. So she's right now in her second term there, and it's not easy. They have 7 council members by district, and these district, I mean, they're not what they were when it was the, you know, when you have 7 people, or even in Napa, I think Napa's done a great job, our city council, but it could get scary that way when everybody starts looking at their own district instead of the good mm-hmm. of the community at whole, and it's killing Vallejo. But she is a really hard worker. I interviewed all the candidates, and I really believe, particularly for Napa, for that representation, I'm like the first senator ever from Napa County since Mike Thompson, when he won for Senate, like in, I think it was 92, mm-hmm. 90, and then I think he left in 98 mm-hmm. when he went to Congress. Mm-hmm. So it's hard for somebody from Napa to get elected. We need somebody here that understands our issues, knows our local elected officials. She's got 5 city council members endorsing her. I'm hoping she'll have all 5 supervisors. She's on her way to that. Very proud of her work ethic so far.
Very interesting. I would think, and no disrespect to Vallejo intended necessarily, but if you can, as an elected official, make positive change in a town like Vallejo, that's a pretty good item on your resume, because it's a difficult environment to make change, isn't it?
It is a difficult environment, and and change in those very difficult environments comes only incrementally. Mm-hmm. So there may be still people yet in Vallejo that are unsure about that. And that's okay. We all get evaluated based on, you know, when I ran my 14 years in Napa County. Mm-hmm. And she'll get evaluated on that. But I see that she's the adult in the room. She'd be the first Filipino man, woman to serve in the California State Senate.
Really?
And yet another woman almost bringing us to parity. So I'm very supportive of both those things. But I want to be clear, I'm not voting for her supporting her because she's a woman or she's a Filipina. I'm supporting her because I think she's the best person for this job at this time. Her education background, two terms each on the County Board of Education and the Vallejo City Unified School District, and her mental health background. And she knows the importance. If we don't start, we've done a great job in Sacramento of taking us from like 48th in the nation out of 50 states in education spending in 2014 when I got there. Today, we're like 24. So we've made some progress, but it's not good enough. Let's face it. We're the number four economy in the world, and we're funding our education at 23 to 24. You know, we need to get that down now. The next step is in the top 10. And her ideas, and I support that, we need mental health professionals on every campus. This is a new paradigm. This is what we have to do. And we're really working the right, going in the right direction with our local school boards and superintendents, our, you know, putting the curriculum in early childhood education, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But Rosanna is just dialed in. And of course, it's not just in schools we need mental health. We need it across the board. And she will be one of the few mental health professionals in the California State Legislature.
I would think of all the professions one could pursue, understanding mental health problems would be particularly valuable in Sacramento.
Absolutely.
There's I'm only just, partly joking.
Oh, I know. It's just like, really?
a lot of personality types. Some of them have disorders.
Well, I would suggest it in jest at one time I was speaking for her that perhaps she could help a lot of people in her own caucus, for heaven's sakes. But nevertheless, it's so critically important. If we do this well, that alone with all the other homeless programs and everything else, which needs mental health too, obviously, but perhaps in a generation, and we have to be looking at it because these problems they're not solved overnight in two to 5 year increments or 10 year increments. You know, we could have a situation where our homeless from that and everything else drops precipitously. We could have situations where, even affordable housing problems aren't as exacerbated because people can now, without those issues and everything, finish their education, get a better job, do the thing. So I'm really high on that, and we've just got to have to do more.
Yeah. So I just had a short trip back in the Midwest, family wedding that I attended, and every time I'm back there, I'm from Missouri, I think you know that, every time I'm back there or even talking to people or visiting from the Midwest here, you will run across, without too much effort, the idea that, oh boy, California, huh? What a mess that state is. I hear it's just fallen to rack and ruin, just a disaster. I wouldn't want it, and sometimes this becomes a criticism of Gavin Newsom.
Sure.
People are worried that he might run for president and so on. And I've on occasion been able to say, did you hear about our tens of billions of dollar surplus that we have? Does your state have a surplus like that? You know, just to sort of bring some reality into that equation. But how would you answer that question if you were one of my relatives from the Midwest saying, oh, California is just a crazy place and it's always out of control?
Well, first of all, it doesn't help to say that I get the same thing, you know, when I travel as well. So it does happen. And I do what you said. Yeah, you know, essentially, we had a bigger, let me just back up. A lot of this comes from COVID and the policies under COVID. People are still hurt over, you know, what happened during COVID. People are concerned about, crime in our country and, you know, subsequent to the George Floyd things, but not wanting to really understand why it was important for us as a society to face that George Floyd situation and sense of racism that we have, you know, throughout our country. And so it comes from all that. So, to me, the state of California saved lives. In fact, I honored, along with Senator Scott Wiener and Assemblymember Ting and Mayor Breed, we honored Dr. Anthony Fauci last week. And it was just absolutely amazing. I personally, even though, you know, we weren't always on our game, we never had a playbook in the state of California or the feds, you're going to make some mistakes in those cases. I get it. But man, to me, he's a national hero. And that's why we did what we did. And I am getting to a point where he said, if everybody had the same protocols as the city and county of San Francisco, the U.S. would have had about 550,000 deaths instead of 1.1 million deaths. And if everybody had followed naturally Californians, it would have been just a little bit higher. So while they might not like a lot of things, you know, we are doing a lot of things well. COVID, we learned that our EDD, we can't, you know, we lost a lot of money, $2 to $3 billion at least, and maybe tens of billions. We're doing an audit on that right now just by people being able to hack the systems. Mm-hmm. The professionals are better than we are, but we're closing that gap very, very quickly with our Office of Emergency Services and their cyber division. But and then the smash and grabs and the homeless situations, look at, nobody wants to hear that this is happening all over the country. You're asking me about California, but there are some areas where it has not happened, and I will give you that. Maybe stronger laws and everything work, but our federal courts say, hey, you can't take somebody off the street unless you have a place for them to live. We're kind of gaining through that situation. Yeah. So I'm kind of like rambling here, but I wish we could do better. Mm-hmm. But this governor, I'm very, very impressed with. I was very impressed with Jerry. I wish he had Jerry Brown's fiscal prudency, but he's not far behind.
Yeah.
But, you know, at some point in time, he, like on the homelessness situation, against all, you know, the far left, the groups that are looking out for the rights of the homeless people. And look, somebody's got to do it. And I'm fine with that happening. But even with all that was out there, he is really doubling down. And he understands that California has been a leader in so many things. We have to be a leader in that. And we have to have a better track record.
I was just pondering that as one of our focal points. In fact, every day or two, it seems like, for a long time, on the media release list for the governor's office, I will see something about governor devotes $100 million to homeless problems over and over and over and over. A lot of money has been going out to try and deal with this problem we all know we have and can't continue like this, right? Is there any evidence at this point that spending is making a difference? Is the direction that people are going now, like we have here in Napa, with these new housing first approaches, is it making a difference?
I think it's making a difference in a lot of areas, but it hasn't filtered down to all 58 counties. Napa County, for example, is doing an outstanding job. Solano County is doing an outstanding job. Those are just top of my mind right now for counties that are, because they're close to where we are right now. And Napa gets it. I mean, they're not letting new families go into homelessness. They're doing their very, very best, getting them jobs, getting them wraparound services, finding some transitional housing. That is, you know, that is the key. Getting out to some of these sites, we now that Care Court is here, we've got a fund. That's where a lot of this money's coming. So you can take somebody. You got two choices. You take them off the street, which may violate, as the ACLU says, some of their rights. Well, is it better to step over that person and let them die? I'm sorry, I can't do that. I voted on that budget item, and I'd vote on it tomorrow, because if we're going to save lives and save families, because let's face it, that person that's lying on the street mentally disturbed, it's not only affecting our community and our perhaps the safety of our community overall with drugs and all those type of things, but there's a family associated with that person that's long given up on him or her, long given up. But look it, they still worry like crazy, and they'll call in, hey, can you help my brother or my sister? So to me, It is going in the right direction, but one of the things we're doing in the Senate is we want oversight. And we had that as a priority, and we've got the framework for oversight so that we can, we are going to be demanding of the administration to be accountable for these billions and billions of dollars that are being spent, not only there, but for COVID. And just to kind of transition a little bit, I've got a bill that I hopefully will can refine enough to get legislative and governor approval at, a year from now, that will create a playbook for the next time we have a pandemic. Because, you know, we had one 100 years ago. We didn't have a playbook. Let's really discuss openly and honestly what went right, what went wrong, what we could have done that we didn't do, and what we should have done if we had known. And this is not a casting aspersions, because we know we did pretty darn well anyway, but we weren't perfect. We couldn't have been perfect. And I'm hoping that we can leave behind the next generation a playbook of how to handle these type of things.
Mm-hmm. Makes a lot of sense. You mentioned 113 bills that you have authored or co-authored. Is that correct?
That's correct. No, 113 is what I've authored.
You've authored.
And it's maybe double or triple that.
Now, I hear stories all the time, not so much about Sacramento, but definitely in the U.S. Congress. You'll hear reference to so-and-so representative who's never authored a bill. And they're,
I mean, the guy that's running for speaker right now?
I wasn't going to mention anybody in particular. there's a lot of people who never carry a piece of legislation, and it seems like what are they there for if you're not going to represent the people and have ideas about what needs to be fixed or improved? What keeps your motor running to keep doing that work? I know it's, sometimes it's frustrating and it's difficult, and not everything you want to try and do is going to get traction. What inspires you to keep doing it?
Well, Barry, I know you know a number of my kids. I've got 5 kids, 4 here in the Napa community with their spouses, and I've got, you know, 12 grandchildren, the 13th to be born this week, I think.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And I just look at future generations in our state and what we're doing, what we could be doing better. I look at climate change. You know, here's a guy, you know, when I first got on the Board of Supervisors, I was a Republican. And although I think I had very social liberal leanings, I was a fiscal conservative and still remain fiscally astute. I don't use the word political term conservative, but you know, I just feel a need to make sure that all our tax dollars are spent wisely and not wasted, because we are the most taxed state in the country, and we ought to be accountable to the people we serve for that. But it really moves me to want to do those things. I mentioned climate change. If you didn't believe in climate change before our fires in 2017, you need to, I want to say this nicely, you need to get with it. You need to read a little bit. I was born and raised in this valley in 1956. I saw the 1964-65 fires. I never saw any wind patterns ever in my entire life like we saw on those days and nights. We've never, all the fires even in 2019-20. These are things that are conflagrations that are as a result of climate change and our need to change the way we do things. And it's the same thing with hurricanes in Florida. And by the way, there's no panacea in Florida. The freezes in Texas, there's no panacea there. You can move there if you want to move there. You have lower taxes, but you'll freeze your ass off. And you might not have a house to come home tomorrow in Florida. But with that, I think it's those type of things that I look at. And then I also get requests like from counties, Napa or Napa City, we need help here. Can we convert this transition center that we have, for criminal justice?
One out here by...
And they're, again, the county's just doing an amazing job that was out there. But, you know, the state kind of changed in 2013 and 14 the way we handle our jails and what kind of prisoners we have there. And that's probably not needed anymore. It's not needed anymore. So they're smart. They want to transition to homeless transition. And boy, do we have some roadblocks just in laws and statutes and everything right. at the state, but we're getting there. And so I get asked all the time to run local type of bills.
Yeah. Fire. Let's talk about fire for a second. Since 2017, obviously, there's been a whole new approach and focus on prevention, and money's been applied. You mentioned the Napa Firewise, and just it's been step after step. From the state level, what's the report card? What kind of a grade would you give the state level's wildfire preparedness and budgetary commitment?
I would give it as A+. And let's just set a baseline. When I came into office in 2014-15, we were spending zero, maybe $200 or $300 million on wildfire prevention. We were spending $3 billion on fire suppression. And when we had the 2017 fires, a number of legislators, assembly members, as well as senators, particularly in these fire-prone areas where the campfire was, the Butte County fire, I mean, just, we this is insanity. We need to get busy on prevention. And so I'm proud today of this. In this last budget, we have budgeted $3 billion for fire prevention. Now our suppression has gone up to about $3.5 billion. But I'm also proud of that because we have been able to create a new Air Force, new night vision helicopters, big jets that can come in, and new chemicals. I, through legislation back on the other side, we now have a Cal Fire Office of Wildfire Prevention, because we never had anything. It was always suppression. That's where the money goes. And it's a new technology division, so they're always analyzing new cameras, new things that we can look. And so we've got not only the Air Force, but also at the same time to direct that, we've got cameras in Sonoma, Napa County, Solano County that are looking at all the fire areas. They can pick up, they've got satellite vision on them, that we can pick these up. If we could have picked that up, even in as bad as the winds are blowing, even all that by itself may not have made it, because look, at those winds were 80, 90 miles an hour. But what we've been able to do is support nonprofit organizations like the Napa Community Firewise Foundation, who have done brilliant, amazing work. So you need that local work being done. But the state, we've been able to give them lots and lots of grants, which we've helped in, but also direct allocations that we've gotten, I think, over $10 million through my Senate ask in the last couple of years. So had we had that work done, we had 80 to 90 miles with the fire, the breaks that have been going on in Napa and everything, there's no doubt in my mind, plus the early warning systems, there would have been no more, a lot less damage to homes. Instead of, I don't know what I should remember. In 2,000 homes or so over the 4 or 5 years, right, and 10 deaths. I don't think it would have been that acute. So I don't want to take all the credit at the state, because I think our local firewise, countywide, and local through the watersheds are doing amazing work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the earlier detection part, like you say, a 70 mile an hour winds, you can't fight that fire. You have to hope the winds stop. But you can let people know sooner to get out of the way. And that earlier detection that we're seeing the evidence of, I perceive, and I don't know if this is bias, thinking it ought to be this way, but the response to every little grass fire we've had in the last 6 months, there are so much more action, so much quicker now. And they're keeping them down to 5 acres, 10 acres. It doesn't have a chance to get going, which to me is like, brilliant, right?
That's the new philosophy, and we have given money. That's another thing. We've given money to local agencies, more money to hire more people, more trucks. And when we have red flag warnings and it's windy and we know the conditions, they can pre-position more assets where they need them, so they know that if they get on them faster. That Up Valley fire was in 19. it was just ashamed that they had had a net, because it was one of the firefighting planes in Denver crashed, and so the FAA put a stop to all flights until noon. We could have done a much better job on that, and we're hopefully going to get. We're working with the feds on that to allow that to be a local call instead of a national call. It didn't need to be that way, but no, getting on them quicker, faster results in less damage and less time, and then we can move on to other things. But when you're on, like we saw, three or four years ago, there was something like 700 fires going on in the state of California at the same time. Mm-hmm. Pretty tough.
Yeah.
Lightning strikes, et cetera.
Yeah. So we're just about out of time for the Barry Pod, but I want to give you a shot to talk about things I haven't brought up, any particular messages for the podcast listeners.
Yeah, this year, you mentioned 113 bills in my 9 years, but this year we had some pretty amazing bills. I had SB 478 signed into law banning hidden fees. And, when you go to a hotel, there's a resort fee, there's a convenience fee, and all these different things. Well, from here on in, they have to be advertised up front as part of the price. And it's not going to be one of these things where you press buy and then you get back. You're now with your credit card trying to figure it out, and your $100 purchase is now $140 or something like that. And I was very honored to be the sponsor of that bill was Attorney General Rob Bonta. And my co-principal co-author was Senator Nancy Skinner from down in Berkeley. And we all worked very, very hard together to get that done. SB 808, CSU sexual harassment. I can't imagine my daughters, and it probably happened when they were in school. They're let's say my granddaughter's going up. When there's a complaint, you've got to investigate the complaint. I mean, the behaviors that have happened over the last 5 to 10 years, sweeping them under the rug, then all of a sudden it's a big deal. And then you get a CSU president that admits it was a big deal, gets fired, and now he gets a cush job somewhere as a tenured faculty member making his highest salary ever. That's going to stop. And that's one of the things I did. And, broadband deployment, I just live on the other side of Trancas, a big ranch road in a little subdivision. I don't care. I don't care if it's Verizon or AT&T or T-Mobile. Do you guys get great service even in your house? I mean, I'm pretty close to the commercial center down there at Knob Hill and Mechanics Bank. Mm-hmm. There's no reason we're spending all this money for the fiber to come up. We've got to start helping, mandating or otherwise, these firms from really having, because everybody's got a phone. So you're paying for some service, whatever service you have, you should be able to get a signal. Now, if you're out at Atlas Peak, or Soda Canyon, I get it. Yeah. Mount Veeder, I get it. Okay, we're fine. So I just it was a simple bill. We've got state buildings. We got the Veterans Home and State Hospital. We could put broadband towers on for these guys at below market rates. We need to do something. We need to do it now. Boosting recycling rates and recycling options, SB 353. People are confused in our communities. What can I put in? That orange juice container, the Minute Maid? Technically, you're not supposed to put that in the recycling, but we all put it in the recycling. You'd be amazed what we put in the recycling. Mm-hmm. So my philosophy in working in this area, and I was the first one last year with President Pro Tem Tony Atkins to get wine bottles and booze bottles. Now they are in the recycling program, and they're paying into them. And kudos both to the wine industry and the booze industry for agreeing to do that. But now these bigger orange juice containers are going there, and we're going to get more and more and more of that done.
I think we're going to have to wrap up. I'm sorry to cut you off. We could talk all day, right?
We could.
There's so much going on.
No, I really appreciate this opportunity,
yeah.
Barry.
Well, we'll have you back soon and pick up on some other topics maybe. State Senator Bill Dodd in the Barry Pod, and really appreciate you coming in.
Thank you.
This Barry Pod episode recorded on the 18th of October, 2023.
You're listening to The Barry Pod, tastings from Wine Country Live in the morning.
On 99.3, thevine.com.